V'yom da'akecha, we began the Maimar on Midas, we're on page Kuf Yud. We're learning how the Sharish of all Midas, of all the Midas, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and so on, all of the Midas, the Sharish is our thoughts, how we think, what we're thinking, and our way of understanding. And through understanding the Metzius correctly, we're able to not only control our Midas, but we're able to preempt the whole hisaras of Midas that are destructive, self-destructive, because we understand the Metzius in an accurate and real way. So we're talking about the need to live a life of Machin the Godless, since the machshavas of a person, the chachma, bina, we've learned is the father and the mother that give birth to midas. In order to deal with our midas, in order to improve, to uplift, to refine our midas, we have to go back to the parents, to chachma and bina, to the way that we think. So therefore, the solution, page Kuf Yud. Therefore, the solution to the whole problem of poor midas is ha'havana, understanding, hakar, and recognizing b'mitzias Hashem Yisbarach b'hashgachah chasa. In a real way, in a true way, the Metzius of Hashem, and the Hashgach of Hashem. Kayidia v'ahavana hazos, because when a person has this yidia, this havana, po'elos la'atzor is called hamidus haroz, then he's able to, as I said, to preempt all the whole hisaros of negative midas. The Marshal, for instance. Im adam meivin b'yidia muchletes umur geshes, says that Kol Rak Hashem is Baruch Hayisa. The person knows with absolute certainty, and it's a knowledge that he feels deep inside of him, that it's a Kol Rak Hashem is Baruch Hayisa, that everything is Hashem. Reino de Miochala Hazik Lechaveru, and that it's impossible for Reuven to insult Shimon, to hurt Shimon, to do anything to Shimon. Elim kein nigza kein milamala, unless there was a gzeir from Shemaim, that such a thing take place. Like, of course, as far as the choice that person made, and so I'm not going to the whole inyan of yidi and bechira, but everything is hashgacha of Hashem. Or the marshal that I spoke about by the hilula from the kedushas Levi, that all of the children were frightened of the person that was parading around with a mask, but the moment that the mask was removed and they saw that it was their father, or that it was somebody that they loved, so then the whole pachad disappeared, and instead it became a time of simcha. Once they understood that it wasn't a monster, they understood that it was somebody who loves them. So mimela, there's no need of pachad. The pachad goes away. So what the Bedichev is saying, what we're learning, is that when a person lives in that awareness of the one who is behind the mask of all things that happen in this world, that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is now appearing in your life with this mask. If you understand that and you live that way and you feel that and in your mind you're able to remove the mask of the apparent mitzias that you're surrounded by, and to see the face of Hashem Yisbarach, so to speak, bakshu panai tomit, to seek Hashem's face. So then mimela, then you're not afraid, you're not angry. It goes away. It, of course, is much easier said than done, but that's the mitzias. Azayhu Maven, Sh'en Lomalachais. when you live in this truth of Echad Yochad and Miyuchad, that everything is Hashem is Baruch, then what's the inyan of getting angry? Al Mishatzir Isai. This person annoyed you or bothered you or did something to hurt you. Hashem is Baruch Hu Zeh She'asah. This is all coming from Hashem. As far as why was he the shliach and why did that person, that's his own inyan with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, why he wasn't zeiche to be left out of this unfortunate story. Why there wasn't some other way to annoy you, to upset you, or to hurt you. That's a matter of that person's parasha with Hashem is Baruch. But as far as why this happened to you, and why it happened to you, Davka, through this person, that you experienced this, that's all hashgacha. Mimela v'ilodam ena shliach, eno ela shliach, ve'en malachai. So the person is a shliach, and thus is just a shliach. Then what's the point of getting angry? And if you truly believe that everything that Hashem does is l'toiva, is for your good. Then there's no reason at all to be mitzar, to be angry. I saw once that Neftolja from Babov, that he explained, was explaining the mission at the beginning of Pirkei Avos. If you have a mesunim bedin to be what would be a good translation of the word Muslim, mesunim bedin. Not patient, but be cautious. Bidin. And he asked, how does that fit in with the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is talking about Hamidu Tamidum Harbe? He's talking about the whole essence of Yiddishkeit and the whole future of Yiddishkeit. So, and then have a Masun Bidin, to be cautious in judgment. How is that a Yisod of Yiddishkeit? So Rav Tolcher said that after the war, that many of his friends and many of the people that he knew that survived, they could not continue on with their Yiddishkeit because they passed judgment on Hashem Yisbarach, that they passed judgment against Hashem, that he ignored them, that he didn't care for them, that he was against them, and that's how all those things happened in their lives and so on. So Rav Tolcher said that Nistarim Da'ach Hashem, that having Masun B'din means that we have to be cautious, not only when judging other people, but when judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. To know that everything Hashem Baruch does, it's so hard to see it. It's impossible to see it with our eyes many times, but that it's all the time, that it's all something which is for the Toiv HaNitzchi of the person. And so therefore he says that you have to be very deliberate in judgment. Very deliberate and very cautious, not to jump to conclusions. It's something that applies to all of life. So this is what we're learning now, that when it comes to getting angry, when it comes to his iris of samida ra, so having mesunim bedin, to be deliberate and cautious how we're judging the situation and looking at that situation, because if you leave Hashem out of that. If you don't see Hashem and that mitzvah that you're in, and you don't believe Bamis, you don't feel that everything is Elokus, so then you can come to the wrong conclusion. And the wrong conclusion would mean that this is completely the disgusting choice of this horrible person who has done this to me, many times in my life, whatever. And then you're angry and you're whatever, all the other things that come out. Just using kais now, we'll talk about other midas as well. But the yisod is to have is to understand the situation properly. Ela sha'af shekol yisrael ma'aminim. See, even though we all believe that everything's hashgacha pratis, we all believe that. There are different madrigas in the clarity and the behirus of how a person feels. Hargoshes emuna. How does one feel? What's the hargoshes emuna? What's the hargoshes emuna? Do you really feel that? The figodl habihirus hamitis, and depending upon the behirus, the true behirus, the true clarity. Habihirus ha'amitis, depending upon that, kach yediya someone mashpia al hargoshes halev. So depending upon that, will your knowledge, will your way of thinking have hashpa on your emotions? If the inyan of emuna is just something that's an idea, it's a concept, it's intellectual, that generally doesn't, it's not going to rescue you from different taivas, and it's not going to rescue you from the natural inclination that you have towards anger. If a person, again using anger as an example, if a person by nature, if he was created in such a way, because each one of us has the four yesodas in different, there are different ratios of Ofer and Mayim and Eish and Ruach, so everybody has a different teva. But if the teva of a person is anger, is very strong, if the Eish of anger is very, very strong, then the fact that you know that Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, might not help you any more than it helps a little kid that's singing the Uncle Moshe song at school. It doesn't help him, you know, while he's singing this song, not to punch another kid in the face if he took his candy. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, boom, Hashem is truly everywhere. And we do it all the time. So Hashem is here, Hashem is this. And after a minute, whether Hashem is here or there, everywhere, how does that change you? How does that affect you with this? So when there's a Hashavah El HaLev, when a person feels that in a very, very, very deep way, if it resonates in the deepest part of who he is, then it changes his behavior. That's the name of today's Yesod Shabbahod. Yesod Shabbahod. So Yesod Shabbahod. So let's just say, for example, that there are many meanings to Hod, but Hod is Hakar Satov. It means that Hod is that I acknowledge, I mighty that this person has been kind to me, this person has been good to me. My parents are kind to me and good to me. Does that mean that they haven't made mistakes? All of us make mistakes, but they've done unbelievable things for me, and they love me and they care for me, even though sometimes it could be that their judgment might be a little bit off, but they love me, they're kind to me, and therefore that feeling of Hakar Satov, of the Midah of Hod, should be the foundation, the yesod of a relationship that I have. And not only that, but yesod means, just an example, yesod means to communicate, right? The meaning of yesod is communication. That's one of the basic meanings of yesod. So that I should be able to communicate this gratitude in a very clear and strong way, that I should communicate this feeling that I have of gratitude to these people. I should communicate that. And the word hod also is a lashon of heid. Heid dal, which means like an echo. It's an echo. And there are many, many meanings to all of these words, but an echo means that if that karas atov, if that hod is not something which is mahad heid, is not something which is constantly echoing in my mind and in my heart, and it's not something which lies at the foundation of who I am, so then I could scream and yell at these people because they slipped up or something, or even, they usually don't slip up, but even if they did slip up, I can carry on and scream and hurt their feelings and slam the door in their face. But in your head, if you have a sane moment, you know that they care for you, you know that they love you, you know that they've taken care of you your whole life, they've been worried about you, and they sat up nights, you know, without sleep because of you. But that knowledge is not mahadhed. It doesn't echo. It doesn't reach you in a deep way. So the fact that you have that knowledge, it doesn't affect your emotions. That when your father says something you don't like, you just let him have it. You just smack him with words, but you let him have it, because the hod that you feel has not become a yisod in your life. You're not. It's not. It's not the foundation of who you are. It's not at the yisod of who you are. You don't communicate it in the proper way, not to them and not to yourself, and because of that, it's not mahadhed. It doesn't echo inside of you. It doesn't. You don't hear it over and over and over again inside of you, that it should change the way that you act, and that it should affect your the way that you feel towards them. So you feel resentment and anger over every little thing that happens, because the knowledge of Hakar Satov, or the knowledge of Hod, is not the Yisod, and it's not Mahadeh, and it's not the, so you just carry on. And then when you relax a little bit and you think, if you're a person that afterwards you're able to gather your thoughts, then you think, you say, oh, it's really, the punishment doesn't fit the crime, and on top of that they're such good people, and whatever the true tzir is. And then if a person uses the same thing when it comes to a relationship like Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is Baruch, and to use that and to, but each one of them need this, but each one of them need this to be mizbainin, and that his bainenus, that thinking should penetrate to the core of who we are. So then we mela them. We don't let loose with these. Not just that we don't react. We don't have a need to react. There's a different feeling that takes over. Can you imagine if every time. That there's a hysteria of some inyan between a husband and wife. A husband and wife who care for each other. A husband and wife who love each other, but they often disagree and they often argue. If there would be this avoda, then the reactions or the responses would be completely different. There was a young lady who was sharing with my wife some absolutely idiotic speech that somebody gave to the girls in their school. It's hard to believe. The basic yisod of this stupidity was that girls, these are high school girls never, ever, ever criticize your husband. Never ever point out ever anything that is upsetting or displeasing to you. And what's going on with this, wherever she heard this from her master or mistress who was in charge of deforming her brain in such an extreme way. Instead of teaching young women of our generation that there's a way to speak to a person and to communicate in a caring and loving way, feelings, thoughts, and disappointments, instead of what's going on with most people that hear these speeches that take them seriously, is that it just accumulates and gathers until at some point, it's not, of course, dear, yes, dear, but it's just like, it's just a pot of chon poured on the guy's head. And a completely perverse way of dealing with emotions and how a human being operates based upon some outdated nonsense. And there's this complete I don't know what to call it other than a shallowness when it comes to the whole avoda of Tikkun HaMidos, which is not an inyan of holding in your rage, your anger, and your feelings of resentments, but rather a way to be metapel with those feelings and how to deal with them, and the midah of yisod means to, which is coming up, is the midah to express and to communicate and to discuss, which is, we see a mahalach that has come down into the world over the past 50, 60 years plus, an inyan to be able to talk and to communicate, to make tikkunim in such a way. So it's a huge fight. That Jay, you wanted to say?
No, I didn't want to interrupt Rebbe. I just yesterday in Hespoda this year, Rebbe gave over how you saw this of Hespoda. This has to be the start of the Karas HaTov, that we begin our connection to the Rabbanu Shalom, and if we start there and build on that, it's very hard to be caught in the Midah Pras, because you start to 100%. Realize how much Karas HaTov you have for Rabbanu Shalom, for all the people in your life.
100%. That's exactly when the way he explained, the Bavar explained that Hevim is Sunan Bedin, to be cautious and deliberate. He's saying that if you stop and you think it's in your relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, in your relationship with other people, and his bodhis that we're learning about, that lies at the yisod of a person's relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, to be able to talk, and to express that Hakar Zatov. So all davening begins, including his bodhis, that's what we were learning yesterday, that all davening begins with appreciation. Shemoneh Esrei, that we begin with expressing our appreciation for Hashem's kindness and greatness and so on, and to thank Him for all the Mechalke Chaim Chesed, Mechaim Yisrach, Mechaim Yisrach, Mechaim Yisrach, and so on. And not only that we believe in these things, but to express our appreciation and Shevach, and then the Shevach at the beginning, also Hodoy at the end, Moedim and Achma. And to try to feel this in a very, very deep way, Nakar Satov. And it lies at the basis of all relationships between people and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be able not only to understand, but to feel. And the way to make that connection between one's emotions, and one's thoughts rather, and one's emotions, is through communication, speaking. That's the midah of Yesod. And Yesod connects the higher midahs with Malchus. And the union of Malchus, that the Hargoshes should be able to be expressed and the midahs, that they should come out in a person's life in a healthy way. It depends on communicating, on talking, on davening, and expressing Hakar Zatov and so on. It's the same thing when it comes to between people. When if you have expectations of somebody, and that your whole relationship is based upon either your expectations are being fulfilled or you're being disappointed, and that's what your marriage is built of. Without any Hakar Zatov, without any appreciation, without any expression of caring and of love and so on, or without talking about differences and so on, so then how could it be a bechlal, a successful and happy relationship? It can't be. It's like that with all midas. It depends on this. So the fact that a person has certain information that he agrees with, or he understands, he has a certain understanding. You know, of course, I know that my parents love me. Of course. So you know, any time that the Rebbe or the therapist or the teacher will talk to the kid. So, not every situation does the kid respond that way. Obviously, this is where the kid says, "No, I think my parents hate me." But in most situations, the kid will say, "No, I know that my mother loves me." But and then the whole story that follows. So that inyan of the ahava, of the love of his mother, is something which is in his head. But it hasn't penetrated to the depths of who he is. He doesn't feel that at the moment, and therefore he's carrying on and screaming and so on and so forth. And that's, you lose control. So it's not enough just to understand, but it has to be such an understanding, that the understanding is so strong and so clear, with such a behirus, that it penetrates mamish to the essence of who the person is. If he go to have behirus amitis. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh one of the other tzaddikim said, I don't remember who right now, that the tzaddikim are the tzaddikim are all great, but the difference in madregas between one tzaddik and another is when it comes to that emunah. So what is he saying? He said that all the tzaddikim don't, some have emuna, some don't have emuna. He wasn't saying that. He was saying that it's the madrega of how that emuna of the tzaddik, how deep, how far that reaches inside of him. Where does that go? That's what, that is the distinction between one person and another person. We're all ma'aminim, but did that emuna prevent you from being dishonest in business? Did that emuna prevent you from talking during davening? Did it inflame you that the davening should be with a fire? What did the emuna do? So this work on midas depends upon the hakara, the idea and hakara. But it's not enough just to know. The idea and hakara have to penetrate to the essence of who the person is. It's to reach the deepest part of who the person is. It's mashpi al hagashas alev. Kach shelo maspik v'yadata hayo. It's not enough that we just know. Etzem ideas hamasiyas b'seichel levad, that I know that Hashem is everywhere and Hashem is everything and leis osa ponamine and he's a malik olam and soyev kolam and I sing all the nagunim and that's not enough. Elat sarach says a yebara ma'od l'seichel. It should be so clear the seichel. Ad shiye v'ashevois alavavecha. Until it mamish, it's so clear. Until it's able to come to that place of ashevois alavavecha, and you think about it, you misbeinin in that. Hakar zatov means that a person should have a seder every single day, like the Moses Svarim say. That a person should have a seder every day to think about how much my parents have done for me, and how much Hashem Zoch has done for me, and to have to put aside a moment or two here and there during the day to stop, not just, oh yes, of course I know, but to have, even if nothing has happened, but just to have a seder in Hakar Satov. I'm just using that now because it's now Tov. But in all of the midas, to have a seder in that, but to think about it, to be misbinding in it, and to not just to, in a general way. His abundance doesn't mean, yes, of course, it's my mother and I love her and she's always been good to me. Not in a general way, but to think prate prate. Like I've mentioned in the past, they say, I saw in a sefer, you know, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was, besides being a genius, he was a very emotional person. Very, very emotional person. And I read in the sefer that there was a bacher that came into Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who came to Reb Chaim and reported this sad news that of a particular family where the son was a soldier, this chayal was killed in action. And they told Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that this boy was killed. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz started to cry, and he was crying for like 15, 20 minutes. And then finally he was quieting down a little bit. And after 30 seconds of like getting back to himself, Nachamal, he starts to cry terrible b'chias. And at some point later on, the bacher was asking the Rosh Hashiva, like, but you know, how, what happened? And he understood that he was calming down. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explained, told him afterwards that first I was thinking about, you know, how the parents, like what happened when they heard the news? Like what happened when they heard that their son was killed? What were they thinking? What were they feeling? And I was crying. And then I calmed down a little bit, and then I thought that I remembered that he also has a little sister. So then I was thinking that his little sister probably looks up to him and that she idolizes him, and then she's a little girl now. She's going to feel. So this is, you know, he's the words, and I was thinking. So imagine, like, almost unfortunately, I don't want to say every day, but you often hear bad news. Now, we don't want to become people that are walking around, Chalila, or broken and depressed. That's not, and Reb Chaim Shlomo is a very happy person. But B'shas Maisa, it's not just in a general way, oh, it's so terrible, this person, you know, was killed, or such a sad thing. And that, I mean it, of course it's sad, it's terrible. But that the person's mizboyin to think about, like that's what Reb Chaim was saying, is that a person, he was thinking about the protum, about what it must, what this must do to the mother, and how this affects the father, and so on, and the kids, and to be mizboyin protum protum in what this means. When a person's mind has that clarity, so then obviously the emotions are going to be very, very much affected. But if a person knows something, the fact that he knows it, he's not. Reb Chaim was thinking about the mother when she heard the news, that horrible moment when they come to the door, that horrible moment when like some shliach from the army comes to the door to say, you know, whatever it is, Mrs. Goldberg, you know, we have something to talk to you about, and she right away knows that that's what that moment is. That every parent dreads such a moment, you know. So we all know that there was that moment when they came to tell Mrs. Goldberg. The difference is that Reb Chaim was misboinen in that moment. He was misboinen in that. And then, of course, then there's a different follow-up about, of course, you could be guaranteed 1,000,000% that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz went over to see them or to talk to them or to do something for them. That's how he was. Is that it was Mahadheid Barosha, it was echoing in his head, Gewalt, Gewalt. You know, and that's how that, so it comes through a clear hakara. The emotions, of course, we all have natural natiyas, but it comes through thinking in his burden. That's the chachma and being as the abba and the ima, to be able to come into the emotions and that's where it comes from. Therefore, all the avodah has to begin with the way that a person thinks. The mistake that we usually grapple with our feelings, we grapple with our emotions, and it's very often a losing battle, because by that time we're already flooded with the mayim of that taiva, or flooded with the, or we're on fire with the esh of that anger. Or we're buried under the sand of that laziness. Whatever the mida is and the yisod, where it's coming from, we're already burnt, buried, drowned. And our emotions are all just expressions, either within ourselves or to others, of being burned, of being drowned, and of being buried. Or ruach being blown away in a hurricane. Ruach sa'ar. But if you start to try to fight with it in the midst of the storm or the tidal wave or the fire or the earthquake, those are the four yesodas, right? If you try in the midst of that to take control, it's an earthquake. An earthquake is very hard to control. A person has a big tiger for something, so that's a flood. It's a tsunami. So when there's a tsunami, what do you stand? Stop. You know, what are you going to do? It's already fafal. You're already washed away. You're taken away. So the avoda and pnimius of tikkun amidas has to begin with havana and hakara bihira mod. And sometimes, not just sort of, very often, that's a matter of a split second. And that's why, when Rav Tolstoy said, have a mesunah, to be deliberate, it says in the Mishnah, to be mesunah, to be deliberate, and to be cautious, and take your time when judging. It's with everything in life, to be, have a mesunah b'din. Kashal ha-maspik yadaya, etzim yadiyah, it says, el tzorek shezeh yabar ma'od l'seichel, ad shiyah v'ashivos al-vechas, shekli ha-lev, Halev Maven, Yagishua Sa'emasazos, that the heart feels this truth. Not just in a general way, yes, of course. Or, oh, it's such a terrible thing, such bad news. Oh, of course, I love my mother. It's all very, very shitchi, it's just very shallow, it doesn't affect a person's emotions. That's why you see the tzaddikim, especially, you see this, so we're talking about that Beis HaMedrash of those tzaddikim. You see, by Reb Chaskel Levenstein, Zechus Chadav Kodesh Levrach, you see Reb Chaskel's Nish Kodesh. You see that. You see that. In every Torah from Chaskel Levenstein, it's all about to be mitzayah, that in your mind to try to envision this, and to see it, you know, and that it should be something which you feel b'chush, like. So you see, it comes to Leil Pesach. So by the saying, the Chayav Adam Lo Yoseh Atzmo Gilui Atzmo Mitzrayim. So you say it in Haggadah. Chayav Adam Lo Yoseh Atzmo Gilui Atzmo Mitzrayim. Chol Dor V'Dor Chayav Adam Lo Yoseh Atzmo Gilui Atzmo Mitzrayim. We just said this a month ago, that you have to see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim. And then, you know, let's move on. Well, what does that mean? So unless you Mitzayah that, unless you think about that, and the whole Haggadah in this is to try to help us to with these Tziurim, and all the nice Haggadahs with all the pictures and all the paintings and all the Perushim and everything, is to just that a person should be able to feel B'chush Kili Yotzim Mitzrayim. But if you don't feel that Be'emes Kili Yotzim Mitzrayim, then where is there going to be a Hakar Satov? Where is there going to be that feeling of Hakar Satov that a person should come to say Hard Lashav Kitar Gulam Chaz? You come to that. You could listen. You could put it on your baseball cap. You could put it on your bumper sticker. Thank you, Hashem, and it's very beautiful. And you could sing, thank you, Hashem. But if you're not mizboinein in the Inyan, if you're not thinking about it in a deep way, then the only place it comes out is on your bumper. But you don't bemis feel that. If you're not thinking, thank you, Hashem, for the wife that you gave me, the bechazde Hashem, all that she's done for me, and to think we're prote prote. The years together and all the toiv of this person and every single toiv, if a person is not misbinding these things, then you could destroy her with a look or with a nasty word for some narishkeit. Aye, there are 30 years, there are 30, 40 years, 50 years of chesed and of ahava, all kinds of unbelievable mesiris nefesh. And if it's something silly, a churban, the whole house is destroyed. And then afterwards, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened to me, I got carried away with myself, or if you have to be by the therapist to hear some stranger giving you all kinds of musa. So what happened, Shaz Maisa? Is that there wasn't that having mesunim bedin to stop and to think. And to, so my father's a chan l'vach, he never ever reacted to something. I never saw him just like react at the moment. So my mother would get very angry about something, even as a little kid, whatever kids do stuff, my mother would get angry, and my mother would report to my father. I was in Hungarian, but I understood it. I was the topic, and it was, my father was always would say, and then he was quiet a little bit, and then he would talk to me. I was just such a machine. I never ever saw that he reacted to something like this. Stam, like, you know, boom. There was never a boom. There was always a kol de mamadaka. Always a quiet. He was always thinking about something. He was always thinking, and then he would talk about it after he thought. I don't ever remember him just like being ticked off or set off or like exploding with anything. I don't recall ever. I'm not exaggerating. You could go right now to Farak and ask my sister without me preparing her. And she'll tell you that I never saw that he ever reacted in such. It was always that when something was, or something happened, or there was an Indian, or something very like this, or very like that, or like this, so my father would always sit a little bit quietly for a few minutes. And then he would talk about it. It was never like an explosion. But just something happened that he would have to say, you know, I'm sorry that I spoke this way, or shouldn't have acted that way. Like most of us, we'd spend most of our lives like this kind of stuff. I shouldn't have. It wasn't me. Oh, it sure was you. I mean, I know. It wasn't the real me, and all this stuff. And I feel bad that I said it to you. All of this is because it's a life without his boninus, without thinking, without deliberation, without. Hakaras, without a behemoth in a person's thoughts, and this of course all goes back to the beginning of what we were talking about with emuna pshuta, the simplest emuna, that everything's hashgacha pratis, and everything is exactly the way that it's supposed to be. And so, And if a person has that with a behirus, it's clear, and he's misbinding in that, and he stops for a moment and thinks about it, so then there's no inyan of a reaction. I saw something last night, and somebody sent me a sefer, and I looked at it there's always something, every sefer there's always something that's kedai, that's good. And I opened it up, and there was something in there about how the Rav Hirschberg, Rav Pinchas Hirschberg from Montreal, you know, he was a guy in Ireland, Rav Pinchas Hirschberg. So, he wasn't originally from Montreal, Rav Hirschberg. He was a huge Talmud Chacham. And he was always going to the Farbrengas of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I wouldn't say he wasn't a chassid of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He wasn't Lubavitcher chassid. He was always going to the Farbrengas. He was very, very close to the Rebbe. He used to go to him a lot, talk and learning and other things. And he was asked by somebody, what is it that you find in the Lubavitcher Rebbe that a person such as yourself, that knows Kol Torah Kulo by heart, inside out, you know, what is it that you find by him? So he said that he was talking about his godless in Torah, and that he never saw anything like it. And he even said, I'm just what I read in the Sefer, he said that I knew Rabbi Nachum Zemba, and I knew all the Gdolim in Warsaw and in Poland, and I spoke to them in learning, and he said, I never saw anything. He said this, I never saw anything like the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Yeah, I never saw anybody like the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he mentioned some other very, very great people. He said, Rabbi Meir Shapiro, he said, and these are all the greatest people. He said, I never saw anything like this, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And then he said, after he said all this stuff, he says, also Altman Higus, that he feels the weight of every single Jew in the world on his shoulders, and that he feels an achrayis. These are the things that we all know and have heard about and so on. But then he said something interesting. This I never thought about, I never heard. He said, and there's something else that I saw by him that I never saw by anybody else, by any other Adam Gadol. He said, I never ever saw, and you could check all the, if you have all the Farbrengens and all the, I never ever saw that he had to say, I made a mistake. Or I, like people will say now, I misspoke, you know. He never ever saw that he ever retracted any of his opinions. No matter how much pressure he was under, and no matter how much hisnagdus there was. And he said it, and it's not because he couldn't admit. It was tzadik yisodom. It's because he was so completely thought out. There was never this inyan of saying something and then the next day trying to cover it, or trying to backtrack or backpedal. He said, you never ever saw by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, no matter how much pressure there was, like when he came with the whole thing with Who's a Jew, if you remember that, with the whole tomb that was going on, everybody was going crazy with Lubavitcher Rebbe, he was so shtag. But that inyan, when it came up, it's already many years ago, but I remember it. There was a whole milchama about that whole issue, and where the Rebbe was very strong that the Jews is only what's defined by halacha, and what was going on with the whole thing, with the whole tumult. And they were saying, all the years you're in America, you're trying to build up this thing about with the Chabad Shluchim and to show love of the Jewish people and to send Chabad all over the world to be Makar of Jews, and now in one moment you destroy the whole Shlichus, you know, that you've been building, because now all these conservative and reform, whatever, and all the, they're all not going to have anything, they're never going to want to have anything to do with Chabad, they're never going to have anything to do with you, and all the Israeli politicians, they're all against you because you came out with this old-fashioned strict, and he wasn't Nispol Kihuze. And this was going on for a long time, this pressure. And if Hirschberg said he never, ever backpedaled or retracted such a thing, ever. It was worked out from the beginning. It was worked out, and in every single prat, it was worked out in that mind that he had, and Zahuza, Kahu. And that was it. That was the end of the discussion, the end of the conversation. And there wasn't remorse or regret. It was what it was. He said, Rav Hirschberg saying, I never saw such a thing by a person. Such a behavior, such a clarity and consistency. That comes from his bonus. Comes from thinking. The Raki Adiya Behira Kazu, the last line on page Kofiut. And only when a person has this kind of yediyah behira kazu, Nikris Yediyah Shleima. That's called Yediyah Shleima. That means a shleimus in knowing. It's not that you're smart. It's not a matter of intelligence. It's that whatever it is that you know, that knowledge is something that is it fills you completely. She yediyah shemashpia al hargashis, k'moishe hezboer. That yediyah is something which is mashpia. It affects your hargashis. It affects your emotions. V'ni avshe b'dvarim shel inyon ha'olam, azay kasha bor lo adam mashu b'sichlo. We see this in the chlal in the world. It's with everything in life, even regarding matters of olam hazeh. That when something is absolutely clear in your mind, as I have behirus, he chazaka. The behirus is strong, that clarity is strong, and vahalev memahir lahargisha. So, and then that will have a strong emotional impact upon you. For instance, he gives in Kusamachtas, it's a Kusamach in footnote for Kusamachtas. Let's say a person had a tremendous taiva. He saw something that looked absolutely delicious. It's his favorite dish, his favorite food in the whole world, and he hasn't had it in the chveis. Who knows how long? Maybe even half hour. Who knows? He hasn't had it. It's his favorite food in the world, this food. And it's sitting over there, and it's the most beautiful presentation of how this food. And he hasn't eaten the whole day, right? And it's the most. But then he finds out. Somebody tells him, "Whoa, careful!" He finds out that this was poisoned. There's some problem here with food poisoning in this food. So then he's going to have, and he still grabs and eats it. What, the taiva will still work? No. As I'm yad halev lo yisav lochla. In a second, he does. He not only doesn't have a taiva to eat this thing, he has a revulsion. Just like when it's ni'ilah, when that emun of Hashem is with behirus, so then you don't have any bad midas or bad taivas, because there's such a behirus in the emunah at the moment of Hashem ulakim at the moment by ni'ilah. So you're gonna get annoyed because somebody is standing in the spot that usually stand in shul, and you're gonna give him a thing or a dirty look. That don't you know that's my spot? That's my spot. Remember when there was one Tisha B'Av that I wasn't here some years ago. We were in Yerushalayim for the summer, and I went by Kinas. There was a shul there where we were staying, and I went to say Kinas. And the place was pretty packed, and I had to look for an empty spot on the floor. This is my shahai. So there was a spot that I saw on the floor, just on the floor by a step of the bima, and I went and I was a stranger. Then I sat on the step, and this old guy comes over to me and says, "That's my spot." And I was wondering. I mean, I thought, how do you have a spot like that? So apparently every Tisha B'Av he has that spot. And it was a year since he sat there, but I took his spot. And he didn't just say it. He was like, "Mamish," you know. He was upset at me how is it that I didn't know? And I said, "I'm sorry." And I went around to find something else, you know, where I could sit down. But I took his spot on the floor, Tisha B'Av. See, here it is. You're talking about kinus, right? We're saying kinus. This is the whole chum mitzvah. This guy doesn't know all of the drushes about sinus chinam, you know, and about he doesn't know all the stories about kamsa. He's not going to sit there the next day hearing the rabbi say over kamsa b'kamsa and say, "Oh, look what Jews do to each other. Look at the needless hatred and all the wrong conclusions that they reach," and so on and so forth. And yet, by keenness, it doesn't stop him from coming over to a stranger and saying, "That's my spot on the floor." And we do these things all the time. So it's keenness. It's Tisha B'Av. And you're angry at somebody, and the whole kapeda you have over Narishkeit. But this, and the biggest time for kapedas is on Shabbos. And if a person would understand what Shabbos is, and being a place of beers and amuna of what Shabbos is, how's the shaykh mechalal to get angry? Like savaru esh b'chol ma'ish v'sechem yom haShabbos. But we lose our minds. So the avod of Tikkun HaMidos is finding our minds. That's the beginning of the avod to be continued.
Rebbe.